I had a little experience just before conference, before and during conference, that I want to tell you about. I tried to, during the conference, the morning prayer services, tried to get up and relate it, but because I thought maybe it was to the conference itself, but I didn't have a chance. As those who were there know, the time was pretty well filled up in those prayer services. The Sunday morning before conference, I opened the Bible at random at the breakfast table and read to my family. And I want to read that to us. It's in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, and verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priests and to the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." So we see that there's some words being sent to these people that were in captivity in Jerusalem, in Babylon rather. After that, Jeconiah, the king and the queen and eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elisha, the son of, I don't know if this will help me read them or not, but I'm going to put them on. Shaphan and Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, had sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying. So here's the message that was sent to these people that were in captivity. "Thus saith the Lord." It was from the Lord. From the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be in increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." Here, they were in captivity, and I said that morning to my family, you know, we're in captivity too. We're in captivity to this Babylon, this economic system, the sins of the world. We're in captivity. And maybe this message is to us too. Well, I didn't think too much more about it until we got to Sunday school. And Brother Mike McGee read the 34th chapter of Psalms. He started with the first verse, and I don't know if he read the whole chapter or not. I don't recall at this time, but I know his theme was praising and listening to the Lord. But in the 14th verse of that chapter, he read, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And that struck me very forcefully. Seek peace. Okay? Then the Tuesday morning prayer service of conference. Jay Mosier. Brother Jay Mosier was in charge. And in his opening remarks, he read parts of 34th chapter of Psalms and included in that, and it wasn't his theme to hear, but again, it struck me very forcefully, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. And I tried to get up then. I tried to, because I thought, well, we really need this. We really need to seek peace in this time of conference. But one right after another, people popped up, and I didn't have a chance. Time was out, and the prayer services were over. So I'm going to make that the subject of my sermon this evening, to seek peace. And I want to go back to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, and read some more of that message to those who are in captivity. Remember, the 7th verse said, seek peace, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. And like I said that morning that I first read this, I thought, we are in captivity as those people were. It's not as physical a captivity now. We don't recognize it even. We are in captivity. So let me read on, starting with verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye have caused to be dreamed. I feel these prophets are the ministry of the world. If we're relating this to our time, the ministry that have picked up those ideas and thoughts and so on of Babylon. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. We understand about authority and what it means to be sent of the Lord. The prophets or the ministry of the world are not sent. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. They knew from this message that the time that they would be in captivity in Babylon was 70 years. Now we don't know how long our captivity is to be, but there is a time that we understand. We understand that the end of time is the year 2000, and then it says, except those days be shortened, there will be no flesh be saved. So we feel that we have a time too, somewhat before the year 2000. Okay? For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What's our expected end if we obey the ordinances and so on of the Lord? Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye search for me with all your hearts. Does that give us a clue as to what we should do? I probably wouldn't have to say much more in this sermon, because that's what I'm going to try to say in the rest of the sermon right here, of what it's saying in the 13th verse. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again to the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon, know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword. Those are the false prophets. And those who would cause us to go astray. The sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Let's see. And I will persecute them with a sword and with the famine and with pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity. And if we are truly in captivity, these words are to us, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab the son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes, and of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. When I read that 23rd verse, I thought of Baker. I want to turn to Daniel. The first chapter. I'm going to read four verses there, starting with the first verse. It's talking about that same captivity that was those people that were in captivity. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learnings and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So this just kind of explains who they took. They took the smartest young people. And of those were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I'm sure some of you young people know those names. And you know the stories of Daniel. They refused to eat the king's meat that was given to them, Daniel and others, and instead chose to eat pulse and water. I'm not exactly sure what pulse is, but it doesn't sound very appetizing. But at any rate, they refused to be a part of that system. They were in the system, but they refused to be part of it. We know later that Daniel was even thrown into the lion's den because he refused to go along with the system. We know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. They were delivered. You think they had peace? I think they obeyed these words of Jeremiah. Daniel, as you know, went on to become a very influential person in that country in which he was a captive. Let's go to Revelation here a minute, and then I can get on with some of this other on peace. The 18th chapter in verse 4 says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people." And it's talking about Babylon. And if we were not in captivity in Babylon, we wouldn't have to come out of her. It says, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." And if there's ever been a plague upon this earth, one that promises to be even greater than the bubonic plague and the cholera and all the others put together, and that is that of AIDS. And you know, there's been estimates of that in not too many years it can take 50% or more of the population of this world. Won't take too many years. And believe you me, we will come close to it. We will come in contact with it. With those who have it, at least. We do not want to be partakers of her plagues. You know, the scriptures tell us that we should promote peace. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, in the 9th verse, one of the Beatitudes, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Why? "For they shall be called the children of God." And isn't that what we want? Romans, the 12th chapter. Verses 17 and 18 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Okay. We're to promote peace. But maybe I should inject something here. Maybe I should give you the definition of peace. The dictionary that I looked in had two definitions. The first one said, "Freedom from war or civil strife, disagreements or quarrels." Maybe we don't have too much that we can do about that one. But the second definition says, "An undisturbed state of mind, absence of mental conflict, serenity, calm, quiet, tranquility, a harmony of personal relations." That's the kind of peace we're searching for. That's the kind of peace that we should be seeking. Well, if we should be seeking it, we've got to know where it comes from. I want to turn to the 29th Psalm. Verse 11 says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." So where does it come from? You know, it is one of the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord supplies it. Another scripture. The 26th chapter of Isaiah. And verse 3. Says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And thee being the Lord. Well, if you want to go to the New Testament and find it there, we can go to the 14th chapter of John and read 26 and 27. It says, "But the Comforter," this is the words of Christ, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I think fear is the opposite of peace. And this Holy Ghost, this Comforter, this peace that Christ left with us, should keep us from fear and give us peace. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation." Okay. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Okay, I want to turn to Isaiah. Again, the 9th chapter. It tells us here, verse 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, and from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So, peace comes from the Lord, the Prince of Peace. And how do we obtain peace? Go to Philippians. The 4th chapter, verses 4 through 9, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard in and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Give some things of what we need to do to gain this peace. Colossians, the third chapter. Starting with verse 17, it says, put on therefore, here's some more clues of how we can obtain it. Put on therefore as the elect of God, that's us, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye do. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Oh, I could keep reading. I could keep reading verse after verse and so on of how to receive this peace. I'm going to read one more. The third chapter of James. Not one more verse in all. One more on this. 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So, there's a key in there. Righteousness. We need to so order our lives where it is less than righteous to obtain that key. Let's look at on the other side of the coin a minute. The 48th chapter of Isaiah. Verse 22. It says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Isaiah 57. Verses 19 to 21. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 59. 7 and 8. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their going. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. So we need to consider the fate, the demise of the wicked. So how are we going to know about what is wicked?
Well, it tells us in the scriptures that through the foolishness of preaching, that will be accomplished.
I want to read Romans 10 in verse 15. It says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" There's that idea of authority again. They have to be sent. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I've been neglecting the Book of Mormon here. I'm going to turn to Mosiah, the 8th chapter. And read 47 through 53 here on page 252. "I say unto you that are his seed, and these are they who have published peace, who have brought good tidings of good, and have published salvation, and said unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. And oh, how beautiful upon the mountain were their feet. And again, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of those that are still publishing peace. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who shall hereafter publish peace, from this time, henceforth, and forever. And behold, I say unto you, this is not all. For oh, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that is the founder of peace. Yea, even the Lord who has redeemed his people, yea, him who has granted salvation unto his people. For were it not for the redemption which he hath made for his people, which was prepared from the foundation of the world, I say unto you, were it not for this, all mankind must have perished." Fourteenth chapter of Romans. Whoops. First, I want to go to 1 Peter. So if you found 14th chapter of Romans, hold your finger in there. I'm going to turn back. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. Verse 8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips, that they speak no guile, and let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil."
righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The peace that Christ left. For he that is that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. In the 14th chapter of John, I guess I already read that. Okay. I want to turn to a song. If you remember, the first song was Sweet Peace. I requested that to be sung as I did, and we'll finish up with this one that I'm going to bring out here, 346. Peace be still. It says, Master, the tempest is raging. The world around us is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is overshadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? Isn't this why we have to turn to the Lord? How canst I lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep? The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea or demons or men or whatever it be, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. Just think of that ship being us. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still. Peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Waken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master. Hasten and take control. The peace that these things threaten to bring upon us, destruction. The trials and tribulations of these things bring to us can only be overcome by the peace that can be gained from Christ. And in the third verse it says, Master, and this is what we want to be able to say within our hearts, Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest, earth's sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more, and with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. You know, some have this peace. It's mentioned in this song and I've been talking about. Others have fear. And wherein and wherever we have fear, we need to turn to the Lord in faith and be obedient to His commands. I think we know certain people that seem to have a great deal of peace, even though the tempest is raging about them. You know, a man that I always thought of as having a great deal of peace was Skeet Yates. And he carried that peace right up through his grievous illness, right up to the time of his death. Well, I'm sure he wasn't always as peaceful as he could have been, but he seemed to have a great deal of peace. And if we can turn fully to the Lord, we can too. Though the tempest is raging. 2 Nephi, 3rd chapter, on page 93, verse 44 says, "Yea, why should I give way to temptation, that the evil may have place in my heart, to destroy my peace and afflict my soul?" Why should we give way to these sins? They will lead us to no good. Why should we who are of the light let the darkness and captivity of this world keep us from peace? We have a hope that should help us through whatever is to come upon this, whatever is to come to us, and whatever comes to us in the future. We know grievous times are coming, but if we turn to the Lord, we can have this peace that I've tried to bring to you tonight. I thank you.